Here we are at the New Year's time of the year, and it's sometimes a struggle to find words, so the best thing to do is go to a man whose wisdom is beyond all, Solomon. He says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. I think those words are wise, and they paint this time of the year, this coming of the new year, seasons and times quite well. For those moments tick off to the final seconds of this year, and we face that realization that change is about to wash over us, whether we like it or not. It's more than merely a changing of numbers, 2021 to 2022. No, it's more than that. It's a profound realization, if we allow ourselves to stop and think for a moment, that this time of the year is a time where our lives change, whether we like it or not. I don't know if you ever thought about it much, but mankind has been somewhat fixated on this time of the year. It seems forever. That's the reason you have sundials, Aztec calendar stones, Stonehenge, the tracking of new moons, changing of seasons, detailed by cultures throughout the years, and of course, recently, calendars. We have a few at the back. Please take some home. It all falls back on the reality of acknowledging that a new year is upon us, and with that comes the added reality that there will be a change directly related to time. That thought takes me back to that ancient Chinese curse. It goes like this: may you live in interesting times. That's a curse. Of course, the message is, life is so wonderful when there is calm, when there's predictability, when tomorrow is going to be like today. That gives us peace, doesn't it? There's no change. It's the same thing tomorrow as today. That's the essence of that curse. For it is change, uncertainty, that brings about anxiety. Anxiety of the unknown that is just over the horizon. You know, that those interesting times that we like to stay away from. Well, you know, we can analyze and reconcile ourselves to the past year, because we've lived it. There may be things that come along from last year into the new year attached to us, but we can cope with that because we are familiar with it. Those are familiar things, not new. But the new year, it's a different time. It will have different challenges. There are going to be things that we have no control over. But one thing remains, as the saying goes, time keeps marching on. And just when I got up this morning, I said, yeah, that's where'd that ache and pain come from? As we reflect on this time of the year, one thing is sure, that soon, days away, hours away, seconds away, as we do the countdown, time will move ahead to a new year. The past year will officially be added to our lives. It's something that we have experienced before, some more than others, but we won't go there. So what am I saying? As we draw near to the new year, we should not let it pass us by, saying, it's just another day. No, it's a change in our life on earth. It's moving from one time to another, a new year. It's a step, accepting a year of living is now behind us. A new year of the unknowns is before us. It's a facing of a new year that may change our life and relationships forever. So for that, I need to run to the Bible for some encouragement, and I turn in my Bible to the book of James in chapter 4. You may want to flip there, James chapter 4. You know, James is the book about living. If you read through it, you come across phrases like, let everyone be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Or how about, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. And then there's this one, where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Wow, profound. But for this time of the year, I'd like to focus on verse 13 in this James chapter 4. It reads, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, make a profit. You say, well, that's kind of an interesting verse. You see, that's the heart of so many people in the world. When this New Year's at the door, they say, oh, I've survived the year, that's behind me. I got plans, I'm heading off to do something else. You know, is there anything wrong with planning? No, nothing wrong with planning. There is something wrong with just saying every day is the same. Something wrong with just letting this time of the year fly past, that acknowledging to ourselves that, oh, this doesn't exist, nothing special. But then there's a loss involved in that, isn't there? For there's not a time of stopping and contemplating things. The reason being that a lot of people go down that road is that they're caught up in busyness. The tunnel vision of life that blurs all the good stuff that is going on around us. It's all at the cost of doing. So, hence, one day becomes another. One year becomes another. For example, think back now. For some of us, we've got to think back a little further, but think when you're back when you were 20 years old. 20 years old. And being busy with life, where days turned into months. Months turned into years. No end in sight. It was life without end in those days. Until a new year brings the realization that, hey, wait a minute. This coming year, I'm going to be 50 years old. Or this coming year, I'm going to be 60 years old, or 70, or 80 years old. Is it possible? Yeah. That kind of gives us a little shake and tells us that, wait a minute, this time of the year, maybe we should stop and take stock of things and contemplate time. So that's what James is saying here. He's saying that there's a problem when we shrug off time and begin to impose our desires on the new year as if we rule time. For us who have worn out our fair share of shoes on this earth, this time of the year has something special to say to us. Another year has gone by, we think. Mm-hmm. Is it a cause for depression? No, it should be a cause for celebration. For our God and Father in heaven has given us another year of family, of relationships, of accomplishments. So it should be an upscale time, not a downer. We can't do things that we could do back when we were 20. He certainly can do a lot of good things. So that is something that we should take forward into this view of this new and upcoming year that's before us. So let's take, for example, that we've paused for a moment to take stock. And we're looking back at this past year, which is always a good thing to do. Have you considered our bodies have aged a year? Job reminds us, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Remember that my life is but a breath. As the cloud disappears and vanishes away, so he who goes down to the grave does not come up nor return to his house. How true. Maybe we've experienced that. How many of us say, where did the time go? Like January, I remember January like it was a couple of weeks ago. It's now December. Time. We may reflect on the past year and think, you know, there's someone that I truly loved. They're not here anymore. They've gone into eternity. Their time clock stopped this year. It's a reality we all face sooner or later. It's a reminder of the frailty of this life. And a reminder that, you know, maybe Job's comments are good things to carry forward in the new and coming year. Then there's this. Those times we fretted over something in the past year, it was just a mountain. And now we look back and say, well, that was kind of trivial. What was I doing? Jesus reminds us constantly. He says to us, do not worry, saying, what shall I eat? What shall I drink? What shall I wear? For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Those should be words of encouragement. Did we ever ask in those times of fretting? And Paul reinforces that truth. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything let your requests be made known to God. Did we forget those foundational truths this past year? Were there times where the trials of life got us a little off track so that we failed to look up and wait on the Lord or reach out to Him in prayer? How about in the past year, were there times where there was just a little too many days of discouragement or despair? We may have come across this psalm when we were searching out a time of salvation from those awful days. We read in the Psalms, in the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul, O God. That would have lifted us up quite well. Solomon makes this observation. He says, here is what I have seen. It is good and fitting for someone to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all their labor in which they toil under the sun all the days of their life, which God gives them, for it is their heritage. Looking back, could it be that we have slipped into a habit of unthankfulness for all that our eternal God and Father in heaven has given us? Or have we been influenced by deception that brought about guilt into our lives to minimize the blessings that God has given us and has provided us an opportunity to depreciate those good things that our Heavenly Father has given us? Solomon gives us a bit of wisdom to carry with us into the new year. He says, as for every person to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. How can we reject it? James reminds us, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. In the past year, we considered that there are times when we were laboring away half-heartedly. Solomon again reminds us, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Well, that's kind of a reality check, isn't it? Paul would echo those thoughts. He would say, whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, not to men. Clearly, we sometimes slip when we lose sight of the wonderful truth that our Creator has blessed each and every one of us with abilities, with a day to do those things that we can do with energy and excitement. So, as we turn our focus on ourselves in those times, we smother that joy of accomplishment, that joy of receiving good things from God by turning to self instead of looking up. Okay, those times have passed and now we can tuck them away and take that good advice of Solomon with us for the up and coming year. But then there's maybe one more thing that maybe we would have considered looking back at the past year. There were times when we were frustrated with God. You say, oh, that can't happen. Oh, things can get tough. I hear Job's wife say, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. That's in the Bible. I didn't make that up. And then there's that time out on the stormy sea that the disciples said to a sleeping Jesus, teacher, do you not care that we perish? Wow, strong words. It may be that too often in the many trials of life in the past year, we have forgotten who the God and our Father is. He's reminded us back in his word in Exodus when he says, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. That's who our God is and our Father. Now, fathers of an earthly type may have a hard time matching that standard, but we have a Father that we can cling to who has given us that description of himself. And we should be able to take that with us in tough times. That will make the prospects of this coming year and the anxieties of it a little bit easier to take. I'm sure that we, if we searched our failures of the past year, we could fill the hour, because we're far from perfect. But this coming new year is not about beating ourselves up about the slips and falls of last year. It's about launching ahead and looking forward to this new year that is upon us with hope and anticipation. We consider the past year, we should now consider the present. We being believers saved by grace. And it is that point of view that I fall back on when I consider this present time, this day. In the brief moment between past year and the new year, there is this present reality where we do an assessment. And it's a valuable assessment to consider who we are today. And it's all given to us in God's word. You know, when sometimes there's a must-do task that is before us, we say, I can do it. I can do it. And that's not if we're lying to ourselves. That's if we're saying, I can do it. And that's based on our knowledge of ourselves. That gives us the foundation to charge ahead and do it. And that's the same principle here. When we're evaluating who we are as we have come through this hectic year and now this new year is upon us. We've got to have that knowledge, that confidence of knowing who we are. And I, of course, my frame of reference is believers saved by grace, Christians. So, let's contemplate who we are. Peter tells us, you are a chosen generation. Wow. Kind of nice. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. God's own special people. Out of the crowds. Out of the millions. You're a chosen people. Nice to have that in our pocket. If you think about the comments of James, he tells us to keep a focus on the higher things in life. That's what he was talking about in verse 13. It's not, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. He says in the following verse, in verse 14, it says this, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. And there's a basic foundation that we can stick with as we look to things. For what is your life? Okay. It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes. I guess Solomon has influenced James also. Here's his focus in the next verse. He says, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Now that gives us a good foundation, doesn't it? James, as does Peter, emphasizes that we function in that rarefied air of dealing directly with the God of creation through prayer. If we would put ourselves in that position. It is a very special people who can do that, not everybody. So at this point, we ought to look down at those marvelous feet of ours that are standing on the rock. Not in sand, not in quicksand. We're standing on the rock. We sing it all the time. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. That's who we are. We're not in a snowbank. Standing firm on the rock. The writer of Hebrews speaks of us this way. Therefore, brethren, that's us, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You know, he is the door, and it's always open to us. The believer can enter boldly into the presence of God. That wasn't allowed by the people of God, the children of Israel. They weren't allowed to do that. But believers can do that. And how difficult is it? Do we have to jump through hoops? Do we have to tick off a checklist? No, we just open up our heart in prayer. 24/7, 365 days of the year. It's right there before us. The door is open. We can enter. That's a good truth to keep in mind. You know, I have a Nexus card. It's called a Trusted Traveler card. It's not as good as this little privilege. Consider this. Our Lord Jesus Christ says to his disciples of Jesus, that's us. He says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, not just once in a while. Forever equals always, equals constantly, without interruption, a helper. Fabulous. No matter if we grieve him or shove aside his counsel, he's always there. It's called long suffering. And who is this helper? Well, John in his account in chapter 14 says to us, our helper is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. You know, only the omnipresent God can accomplish that. Hence we get that expression, God with us. Wow, God with us. What a helper. Remember back in the book of Exodus where we just read, the Lord, merciful and gracious, long-suffering. Oh, yeah. And abounding in goodness and truth. That is our helper who dwells with us every step of the way, the Spirit of truth. Consider this. The Father creates man, promises an anointed one, a Messiah. The Son comes as the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. as the Lamb of God, the Lamb of reconciliation. The Holy Spirit comes into the believer's life for the rest of their journey home to glory. That's God's overall purpose. From the start to the finish, you can read it. It's right here. The Holy Spirit, our helper. We are indeed blessed in any circumstance. Our helper is by our side. Like that old phrase goes, two are better than one. We're never alone. We always have our helper, God with us. Pretty nice to be a believer. Paul reminds us in the book of Romans, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now that's the helper on the highest level. Someone we should really enjoy having around. He's going to be around anyway. You know, this is what the meaning of this phrase. It is the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Our helper with us. Paul says, it will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Isn't that something? That's a hallelujah statement right there. And there is this. Just like in those commercials where they say, and we have an added bonus for you. The writer of the book of Hebrews in the very first chapter tells us this. Angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Now, that's us, believers. Our inheritance is salvation. So, you're out, you're heading for a plane trip down to visit relatives in California, or you're jumping in your car and you're heading off to do an errand down the highway someplace. You call out to your Heavenly Father to help me, keep me safe. What's he do? He sends forth an angel. He sends forth an angel to help you out, to minister to you. How does that work? The angel keeps that car on the road. The angel keeps you alert. The angel keeps that semi coming at you at 80 miles an hour on his lane to go by you safely. The angel, God's minister for you, keeps those deer off to the side of the road so they won't run out, smash into your car. The angel, when you pray for God's safety, keeps that bear in the bush as you walk down the trail, going out for a nice friendly walk, or whatever. The list could go on, whatever suits your situation. That's an added bonus. That's in Hebrew. It's in Hebrews. Pretty interesting stuff. Then there's this, the basic truth that John states that still amazes me. It's not as simple as it sounds. It goes like this. But as many as received him, that is Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Wow. Pretty amazing. Those who believe in his name. Pretty powerful stuff. Children of God. You know, as we get older, our family of parents and siblings starts to chisel down, starts to shrink, and we get smaller and smaller over the ages. And either through death or sickness or whatever. And all of a sudden, it's shrunk down to the point where there's only one person left in that nucleus family. That may be you. And you say, well, that's the reality of life. True, it is the reality of flesh. But you know what? When we are received as a family member into God's family, there's a never-ending stream of brothers and sisters, when you think about it. The family seems to keep growing around us, to the point where you travel somewhere to another town, and you go into a local assembly, and there's your brothers and sisters. Your family is just without ends. That's a better family, isn't it? I mean, your family here on earth is great, but to have this blessing of having family members wherever you go, that's something special. That belongs to believers. We should celebrate that. And then, of course, the head of the family, our Lord Jesus. We read in the Bible, it says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, no. We got a family that's got a little bit of push. And Job acknowledges, speaking of our Heavenly Father, he says, I know that you can do everything. Everything. The word is everything. And that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. I think for us, that should be a confidence builder. We can pray to the one who can do everything in our difficult times and in those times coming forward that brings anxiety to our hearts. We've recently completed a study of the letters of the Apostle Paul. These epistles, in each and every one of them, we've found Paul encouraging believers about their position in God's family, about the blessings of being in God's family, about their future and their hope. And, you know, those things are right here at our fingertips, and it should be an anchor for us as we move forward. And if there's little anxieties that build up in us, then we can run to God's word and wash that aside. And we could find a lot of those in Paul's epistles. So, you may have other truths that you lean on, and there's so many in God's word, but I think you get the point. We should never lose focus of who we are. That will provide us with a solid foundation for the present and for those days ahead, the days to come, the new year. And yet, here we are looking at the new year and what it will bring. Which brings me to this calendar. Lovely calendar. You notice in the days, they're all blanks. You notice that? That's what James says. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. We can't be filling these in. You can fill it in, but that could end up in the recycle. And those, all those comments you've added don't mean anything in the days ahead. But they're blanks, as it should be. But as we move forward, we have strength that whatever gets added to that calendar, we can cope with it because of who we are. Well, we should have a moment to think about this wonderful little truth that we should stick in our back pocket. Jesus said, rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Wow. Sometimes you go to a restaurant or you get your flu or your COVID shot and they say, hey, did you phone us earlier? You just showed up here. We don't take show-ups. Did you get to make a reservation? No. Okay, you got to go. Our name wasn't written there. Having your name written someplace, you get in. That's a wonderful thing. You could take that with you for whatever comes upon your life. So, and what is our future, us believers? Well, it says, the city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And there shall by no means enter it, only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life shall. That's a positive. That's a promise. A done deal. Out of man's hands. As you are saved by grace, your name goes in the book. So, as we look to this upcoming year, we can deal with what the writer of Hebrews said. He said, as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Kind of a depressing verse, don't you think? I don't think so. Could it be that this new calendar has got a circle with your name on it. 2022. My brother's was 2021. He didn't know it was in January that his name is going to be circled in his calendar of last year that I gave him. But could it be that our name is circled in this calendar for this year? Could it be? It could be. It is appointed, it says. Who does the appointing? God does. Can we stop time so that this new year won't come upon us, that this calendar can be thrown in the garbage? No. We have no control over time. Only the I am is exempt from time. So we have to face the realities of whatever is to come. But we can have peace. Even if that appointment were to land in this new year, because of all the truths we've been talking about, you could take that bundle of things with us and face this calendar, this up and coming new year of the unknowns, with confidence. And then God even helps us out with that. He says to us, we are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord. So as we leap off of this page into eternity, we know where we're going. There's no blackness out there. We have confidence. Even Moses offered up a prayer for us to bring to our Heavenly Father for the new year. He says in Psalm 90, teach us, O Lord, to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom, that we won't be running around fretting. We will be wise in the things of time. That's James' message. And taking from the great Hebrews chapter 11, which I love, let's add to our foundation of truths that support us as we stand on that rock. It says in chapter 11, these all died in faith. Well, that's important. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, confessed that they were strangers on the earth and pilgrims. That is who we are. So for the upcoming year, let's grab onto those promises. Take all those good things, embrace them, tuck them under our arm, and head off into the new year with confidence and a renewed trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. And realize that if our appointment is not in this calendar, our name isn't circled for that appointment, maybe this new year we'll have the opportunity to introduce someone else to the family of God. That will make it a happy new year for us. No matter what, I wish you all a wonderful new year. Amen. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for building up in us this foundation of truth, that we have hearts of wisdom and that we know where we are going. There is no blackness before us in this new upcoming year. For all is open to us, for you are the light that shines on these times. We give thanks for your word, for our Lord Jesus, who is the door that opens into your marvelous kingdom. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.